today. Well, I'm glad you're here. I was reminded of a story today before I start of the priest and the evangelist and the pastor who decided to go out fishing together. They were all buddies and went out in the boat. We're doing a little fishing from the morning and early afternoon. They hadn't caught anything and kind of getting restless. And the priest says, "You know what, guys? Hey, man, I really need to go into the shore and I just need to use the restroom." And so he gets out of the boat and he kind of skips along the top and goes right in and uses the restroom and comes back out and skips back out back into the boat. And man, the pastor was like, "Man, what faith! I mean, this guy's got faith." Even like Jesus, that he could walk on water. Remember when Jesus called Peter to walk on water? He goes, "God, I wish I had that kind of faith." A few minutes pass by, and the evangelist says, "Hey, guys, I forgot, man. I got some sandwiches in the cooler and in the car, and I got some extra drinks in there. Let me go get those things. I'll be right back." And he gets out, and he skips along the top of the water, comes right back, and gets back in the boat. And he's like, "Man, God, you're really challenging me today. I really need to have this kind of faith." He says, "Guys, if you can do it, I can do it too." And he gets out of the boat, and he tries to walk on water. And he gets out, and boom, splashes really big into the water. It begins to sink. About that time, the priest looks over at the evangelist and says, "Hey, you think we should have told him about the rocks in the water?" Sometimes our faith is trying to grow, and it doesn't always seem like the right season. Sometimes our faith is trying to build, and we're like, "Man, I just don't know. I'm going through a season when my faith is being tried, being tested." So this series, I believe, is for everyone here, no matter if you've just been saved recently or you've been giving your heart to Christ many years ago. Our faith has got to rise to a next level. We're calling the series Next Level Faith. Anybody here say, "I want my faith to rise to the next level"? Come on, say it by faith. Say, "I want my faith to rise to the next level." Amen. We want that to happen today. We want your faith to arise in me and you. I believe God is calling us to this season. Now, we just finished up a series on change and the power to change, and had many people who messaged us and said, "Man, Pastor, that was right for me." And you gave us some very practical tools and teaching and words Pastor TJ shared as well, and really teaching us how to take the initiative and begin to apply. How many know we said in that series that if you want to change, it's not enough to wish it, it's not enough to be inspired by it, but you got to say, "You know what, I want to apply the word of the Lord and walk it out of my life." If change is going to happen, it's because you take the information that leads to change and you apply it to your life, become a doer of the word. You apply it out, you walk it out in your life. Let me say this to you. If you want growth to happen in your faith, if you want your faith level to rise to the next level, it's going to happen. Faith will rise to the next level when we make it intentional. Look at this next quote today. If we want our faith to rise to a higher level, we must be intentional about growing it. Very simple. If we want it to rise to a new level, it's going to happen because we are intentional about growing our faith. Our faith level must rise up. In the book of Hebrews, in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, we see the same verse time and time again. It's all through there, which says this: "The just shall live by faith." Let's say it again. "The just shall live by faith." Let's say it all together. "The just shall live by faith." One more time, all together. "The just shall live by faith." It's the very foundation of us, we who are just, we who have been made righteous. We live our life by faith. We live it by faith. It's the foundation. Let me prove it. It's the foundation of which everything else is built on the Christian walk. It's very important. It's the foundation. Look at this. You can't be saved without faith. Ephesians 2:8 makes it very clear. You can't be saved without faith. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Yes, we receive salvation by grace, but it's received through faith. That's why if you hear people teaching, there's a popular teaching right now, and it's false, which is this, is that the grace of God is so big and so widespread for everyone. Everybody's already received the grace of God. They just don't know it yet. Everybody's already saved. It's already there for everybody. And that's not true. Even though grace is for everybody, it's got to be activated by faith. It's not activated until I accept what Jesus did by faith. That's what it says. "For by grace you've been saved through faith." You got to believe that he was the Messiah. You got to believe that he died on the cross for the sins of the world. And so this is very important. Faith is the activation for grace to be released in our life. Grace is the activation. And so faith releases that. So you can't be saved without faith. the very foundation. We also, my prayer is powerless without faith. Look at this. My prayer life is powerless without faith. But when you ask, James 1:6, but when you ask, you must believe. Don't doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. I can tell you that when we were in Hawaii a few weeks ago, that I came back with some battle wounds. I had blood running down my arm. Because why? Because I was getting very close to the shore, and I thought I was safe. And I was over there standing on a rock talking to my wife. All of a sudden, a big wave came out of nowhere and slammed me up against the rock. And I slammed my wrist. I came up and had blood dripping down with salt water. It wasn't a very comfortable experience. It was very painful to get that salt water mixed in there. You know, I understand the scripture. Because, man, boom, out of nowhere, it just took me and tossed me around. That's what happens when you don't live by faith. When you don't believe. That's what it says. When you don't believe and have doubt, you're like a wave of the sea being blown and tossed by the wind. Now listen, we've got to have faith. My prayer life is not active without faith. Look what else is important about faith. God can't be pleased without faith. God cannot be pleased without faith. Look what Hebrews 11:6 says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone here want to please God? I mean, that should be the cry of our heart, right? Every Christian, that should be our prayer. I want to please the Lord. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. And, everybody say and. This is important, because we don't always remember this part. And that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Which means this, that faith is what pleases the Lord, and I must believe that He exists. This is what happens, that God exists. And then also, my faith is not only that God exists, that He is the Son of God, but my faith then goes to a different level. Then my faith, the foundation level, elementary level, is God, You exist. You are the Son of God. You come to forgive man of sins, and I accept what happened on the cross. That becomes, I believe, He exists for this reason. And then the next level is what? That I earnestly believe, what? That God rewards those who seek Him. That I believe that God rewards those who seek Him. That's a new level of faith. Not just one for salvation, but God, when I seek after You, when I earnestly seek after You, that God, You reward those. The promises, the blessings You have are for those who seek after You. That's a new level of faith. God's not pleased without it. Look at this next one here. God's promises can't be experienced without faith. God's promises can't be experienced without faith. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Don't become sluggish, but imitate. What should we imitate? It tells us those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. He tells us don't give up. Don't go weary of doing the right thing. Don't give up in your faith, but hold strong. Imitate those who walked in faith. Even when it took a long time, they were patient and they walked in faith. They stayed committed to faith. He says, this is how we inherit the promises that God had for our life. Now listen, we cannot be elementary in our understanding when it comes to faith. Something that is so important to the foundation of our Christian walk. We can't afford to stay elementary in our understanding of faith. Too important. Too important to the life of every believer. We must let our faith level grow. We must let our understanding of faith begin to grow. Why? Because it affects every area of our Christian walk. And so we have got to say, God, I'm ready to grow in this season of faith. This is why this series is so important, because it affects so much. Turn to your neighbor and say, faith matters. Faith matters. It's a big deal. Faith is a really big deal to every believer. It's the foundation that we build our life on. Faith will produce optimism. But you can have optimism without faith. Let me say again. If a faith will produce optimism, but you can have optimism without faith. I've met a lot of optimistic people that were just naturally optimistic people. Well, whatever happens will happen. It'll all work out. That's optimism. And faith will produce some optimism. But faith is not whatever happens will happen. No, faith is different than that. Look what Hebrews 12:2 says. Looking unto Jesus, say it with me, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. For many people in this room, we've looked unto Jesus as the author of our faith. What's that mean? He's the one who writes it. When we believe that he exists and we believe in the power of the cross, that he starts that faith journey, he writes on our heart, redeemed. He writes justified. He writes forgiven. He writes child of God. Man, he writes righteous. Man, this is a powerful place. And this is where our faith starts, right here. Right here, this level. Jesus, the author of my faith. But he's just not the author. He wants to take you to a higher level of faith where he becomes the finisher of your faith. He becomes the finisher. We put our trust, we live in him daily where he becomes the finisher of our faith. What's that mean? That I put my trust in Jesus as the Messiah, God's only son. I put my trust in him. He starts his faith journey in me. He writes it across my heart. He starts it. He starts this journey of faith. And then I begin to live it out. Now I begin to trust this man. Now I begin to trust my Messiah. Now I trust him and he's going to lead me. I trust him. His ways are higher than my ways. I trust him that he's going to lead me in the path that he wants me to go. I pray his kingdom come, his will be done. God, I'm learning what it means to surrender my life to you on a daily basis. That's saying, God, I'm putting my hope in the finisher of my faith. It's a different level. And for many people, you've been at that basic level and you never walked into a higher dimension and say, I'm trusting God to be the finisher of my faith. I'm trusting God that he will take me to a different level of faith. This is what we want. Turn to your neighbor again and say, faith matters. It's a big deal. Faith matters. I have faith because of Jesus. And I put my faith back in to Jesus. See, optimism has hope in hope. Optimism has hope in hope, but faith has hope in God. Big difference. Optimism has hope in hope. Faith has hope in God. Big difference. Optimism says it will all work out. Optimism says everything's going to be all right. That's what optimism says. Everything's going to work out. But faith says God will work everything out. There's a big difference. It's not just thinking everything's going to work out, but it's, no, God, when I seek after you earnestly, God, you are going to work and cause everything to work together for good in my life. God, that's where my faith level is rising to a new direction, to a higher level. Look what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now faith is, let's say it together, now faith is, say is real loud. Now faith
is.
A little bit louder. Now faith
is.
See, that's important. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is. You notice it doesn't say faith was or faith shall be. It's faith is, signifying that it is present tense. Faith is. Faith is. Faith is. In the life of every believer, faith is. It's important. It's active. It's going right now. It's present tense. My faith should be present tense, present time, not past time. Some of you here, you had a big faith in years past, but you've gone through something, maybe something in your life, a problem happened with your family or your children or your job or your health. Something's happened and you felt an attack, and something's happened and your faith is beginning to slowly decline. Hey, that's why it's important you say faith is. It's important right now. You can't live off of last season's faith. You got to say, God, this season right now, I want my faith level to begin to rise. I want to learn to trust you in a higher level. I want to begin to see the things you want me to see. I want to begin to pray the things you want me to pray. God, I want to experience the things you want me to believe. God, I want to be the person you're calling me to be. And God, I'm hanging on to you no matter what happens in my life. God, I am hanging on to you because not only are you the author, but God, you're the finisher of my faith. And no matter what Satan's trying to do here, God, you're going to finish it once and for all. That's where my trust is at. That's where my hope's at. Faith matters. It's present time. The enemy understands this, and he understands the importance of faith in the life of every believer. Let me say this again. The enemy understands the importance of faith in the life of every believer. That's why when he's attacking you, he's not really attacking your finances. He's not really attacking your family. He's not really attacking your children, your marriage. He's not really attacking your job. He's not really attacking your health. What's going on? He's attacking you because he's trying to ultimately weaken your faith. He's trying to weaken our faith. And so he uses other areas to try to get to our faith. And so we've got to realize it, all right? He's not attacking me because he wants the wrong resources. He's not attacking my relationships. He's attacking my faith. He's wanting me to lose faith. He's wanting me to lose hope. He's wanting me to give up my faith in God. He's attacking it. And we see this play out in the book of Job in the Bible. It illustrates it very clearly for us. Remember when Satan went to God and said, "Hey, your servant Job, he is like none other. I know you said that. You're so proud of him. You declared how proud you are of the faithfulness, the faith level of your servant Job. But God, if you give me permission, I'm going to take away some of his things. I'm going to destroy his family. I'm going to destroy his finances. I'm going to take away all his resources. And I guarantee you, he'll lose his faith and he'll curse you, God." And God gives Satan permission. And he goes in there and he wipes out his family, wipes out his resources, wipes out his money, possessions. Everything is stripped from him. He's with nothing. But the one thing he never did, he never gave up on his faith. He stayed true to his faith. He held on to his faith. Even when he was sitting out with leprosy, he was holding true to his faith. He never let go of his faith, even when his friends mocked him. Even when those closest to him gave up on him. He never let go of his faith. And of course, we know the end of the story says that God repaid everything back that he lost. God brought it back double-fold. God gave it to him more resources, more finances, more relationships, more family. God gave it all back to him. Double. Gave it all back to him. Why? Because he didn't lose his faith. You see, this is the level we got to have, that when the enemy is attacking my resources, when the enemy's attacking my relationships, when the enemy's attacking things around me, that's all right. I say, you know what? You may take those things, but I'm not letting go of my faith. You want to know why? Because you may attack those things around me, but you know what? God, I have faith in you. God, you can bring back resources whenever you're ready. God, you can restore relationships whenever you're ready. God, you can bring healing whenever you're ready. My faith is not in the resources. My faith is not in the relationships. My faith is in who God says I am. My faith is in God, the author and finisher of my faith. That's my faith. Not in those things. Oh, some may trust in horses and some may trust in chariots, but I'm going to trust in the faith of God Almighty. It's the Lord who I trust in. And faith says, I'm hanging on to that. Satan, you may be trying to get me to doubt you because of this attack. Satan, you may want to get me to lose faith because of this problem. But that's just an attack of the enemy. Satan, you cannot have my faith. You stand up and declare it. You can't have my faith. That's what faith level does, and you rise to a new level. Hold on. Sometimes you got to look the enemy in the eye and say, you better back up, sucker. You can't have my faith. See, look at this definition. I've heard it before, and I don't even remember where I heard it, but I wrote it down. It's a great one. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth about everything all the time. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth about everything all the time. Isn't that a good definition? That's what faith does. We walk it out. So if the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? I give tomorrow, and I walk that out. God, your word says, if you be before me, who can be against me? And I walk that out. If God's word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, I get up tomorrow and say, God, your word says, no weapon against me shall prosper. God, my faith is in you. I'm going to lift my head up, and I'm going to go straight ahead. God, pursuing more. Keep living my life. God, staying faithful to you. If your word says that you cause all things to work together for good, who are called according to your purpose, God, I'm going to walk in faith knowing that, God, you're going to make things turn around. God, you're going to work this thing out for the good, whatever that looks like. See, that's what God does, and we got to act like it. If we believe it, then we walk it out. Look what it says in James 2:17, that thus also faith by itself does not have works is dead. Faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. It's not enough for me just to believe. I've got to walk it out. That's what we're talking about. It's not enough to believe and say, I believe the Bible. I believe those verses of promises. I've got to walk it out tomorrow. I've got to walk it out when I leave here and the music's not playing. I've got to walk it out when Pastor Justin's not here encouraging me on. I've got to walk it out. Tuesday when I got to go and face my boss and I'm not really happy about it. I've got to walk it out. I've got to walk it out. You see, works, according to Scripture here, is simply this. Works means this. Works means a corresponding action to my faith. Works means a corresponding action to my faith. I should walk it out. It should be a corresponding action to what I believe. See, faith, look at this. Faith doesn't deny reality. Faith doesn't deny reality. Faith believes God in spite of reality. I've seen people who have faith and like, oh, I'm not sick. My car's not broken down. I'm not broke. Yeah, you are. That's why you walked here. You know, faith doesn't deny reality. I didn't get the report I wanted from the doctor. That's reality. It doesn't deny that. Faith doesn't deny that I'm struggling. It doesn't deny that. But faith says, I'm going to trust God in spite of the reality. I'm choosing to trust and hang on to the Lord. That's faith. In spite of the reality, I choose to hang on and trust in the Lord. Look what Exodus 3 says in verse 13 through 15. We see the story where God was calling Moses out to lead the children of Israel. Remember this? And Moses spoke and he said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? Then why should I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Isn't that great? I love that. I am who I am. And we read that part and sometimes we stop it right there. I'm like, that's great. And we take it, we preach on it, and we don't talk anymore. But he goes on to continue to answer Moses about who he really is. He goes, this is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And then God also, everybody say also. We got to pay attention. Also, we're so excited about the first part, we forget the second part. He says, also, he said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers. Now, when we see the word Lord in all caps, in Scripture, it was the Hebrew way of emphasizing the word Jehovah or Yahweh in Scripture. Basically, what it means is this, that Jehovah means the covenant-keeping God. And so when we see the word in all caps like that, that's what he's saying. So, he says, I am who I am. I am the covenant-keeping God. Remind my people, I am who I am. I am the covenant-keeping God. If I made a promise, I have not forsaken them. If I promise, it's been prophesied that I'm going to pull my people out. I will deliver my people. I am the covenant-keeping God, and I will deliver them. You let them know who sent you. You tell them the great I am who sent you. And you tell them I remember the covenant. I am the covenant-keeping God. Wow. I am who I am. What's that mean? What do you have need of today? In your mind, what are the great needs you have in your life? I need this. That's what God is. He is our provider. He is our healer. He is our redeemer. He is our restorer. He is our peace giver. He is our Lord and Savior, our King, our Almighty, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace. He is God. Listen, whatever you have need of, that's what God is. I am who I am, and I'm the covenant-keeping God. What a powerful statement today. What a powerful statement today. Let faith rise in your heart that he's the covenant-keeping God. He will be what you need him to be. He is Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. One of the names for Jehovah we see in Scripture is the name Jehovah Jireh, which means he is the Lord, our provider. We see a story that happens in the book of Genesis where God goes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And by this time, Abraham has no son. And he is very old in age. Sarah, his wife, is very, very old in age. And he says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And Abraham says, that's great, you know, but, you know, maybe I have spiritual sons, God. What's going to happen here? Well, you know, you're kind of too late for this promise, God. No, Abraham, you and your wife are going to have a son, and I'm going to make you the father of great many nations. He goes back and tells Sarah, Sarah, you're never going to believe what God said. You and I are going to have a baby. Yeah, you think about how old she was. You and I are going to have a baby. Look at her response here. I think this is kind of some of the same response we have in Genesis 18, verses 11 and 12. Now, I'm glad the children are out here today because this scripture gets kind of, well, you'll see. I'm reading the Bible, okay? I'm reading the Bible. Don't get offended. Abraham and Sarah were both not just old. The Bible says they were very old, okay? They were older. Let's just put it in English. They were older than dirt. They were old. And by this time, Sarah was long past the age of having children. I mean, we're not talking about she just reached a year past menopause. I mean, long past that time. Long past that season of life, okay? She is old, and he is very old, and she is very old. And she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like, can you imagine this? How can a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure? Especially when this old man over here is supposed to be the one impregnating me. It ain't gonna happen. I mean, you're talking about the laugh. She's laughing inside. I'm old. I can't even enjoy it. And how could I even think about enjoying it with Abraham? We ain't enjoyed that in years, God. It was long past that season. They were old, old. I mean, old. Older than anybody in this room, okay? So I'm not preaching to you today. Don't anybody get offended. They were past old. They were ancient, okay? And this began to upset the Lord. The Lord was not happy with it. Remember, she laughed to herself. Look what happens now in verses 13 and 14. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh? Why does she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Look at this. God said this. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Now, I want all of you to repeat this blue line again. We just said it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I want you to say it by faith. Say it with me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen, the wrong question is this. The wrong question is, God, am I too old for this? God, how could Abraham do this? God, how could I ever enjoy this? That is not the wrong question. That's the wrong question. The right question is this. Is there anything too hard for our Lord? Is there anything too hard for our Lord? This should be the question that comes up in the heart of every believer. When God is speaking to you to rise up in faith, when the enemy's attacking you and trying to bring doubt to your mind, doubt to your heart, you say, no, enemy, let me tell you one thing. Is there anything too hard for our Lord? That's faith. That's faith. God, is there anything too hard for you? No. No and no. And let faith arise. I'm going to ask the magicians to come this morning. This has got to be the prayer of our heart that we ask the question. Is anything too hard for our Lord? That should be our natural response. When an enemy is attacking you in your mind, trying to bring doubt, saying it will never work out, there'll never be healing, there'll never be restoration, there'll never be forgiveness, there'll never be this or that, you'll never get back, you've lost this. You just simply say, is there anything too hard for my Lord? I want you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads today, I want to make sure today, before we go any further in this service, I want to ask you the question. There's people in this room, I wonder today, have you made Jesus the author, first of all? It starts with making him the author of your faith. We say, I want to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart today. I want to ask him to forgive me my sins, and I want to accept Christ as my personal Savior today. We won't do anything to embarrass you. We had four people who made this decision in the first service today, and we want to give you the same opportunity today. If you're here and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. No one's looking around but me. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, guys. Yes, I'm ready to make Jesus my Lord today. The author right now. Anybody else want to join these three? If you have never accepted Jesus before, you say, I'm ready today. Just raise your hand right now. Say, I'm ready to make Jesus the author of my faith. Accept him as Lord. This is what we're going to do today. We're going to say this prayer because we had people who raised their hands today. And I want you to repeat after me. As Christians sitting around you, we're going to say it as well out loud to help you along. Let's say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I give you all of my sins. I give you all of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your grace. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Guys, come on, give a hand. Yeah, big decision today. Hey, it's a big decision. Stand up, come on. We had 7 people today on a summer day in June give the heart to the Lord. Come on, stand on your feet this morning. How many today looking at me say, Pastor, you're speaking right to me today. Anybody say, that's me, that my faith level's being challenged. Raise your hand and say, that was speaking right to me today. Yeah, lots of hands going up. This is what we're saying. God, in the intro of this sermon series, God, I want this summer, I want my faith to rise to a new level. I want my faith level to rise up. God, I want you to take me to a higher level of faith. Help me not to doubt and help me to trust you in areas that I've been weak in and surrender it all to you. It starts to saying, God, I'm surrendering my life now to you and I'm surrendering now to the Holy Spirit. My life every day to the Holy Spirit. Come on.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence.
I want this summer to be a summer when I grow in my faith. God, I'm ready for a new level. God, I'm ready for a new season. God, I'm ready for a higher level of faith. God, right now, I pray in the hearts of every believer today that, God, you are starting something, that faith is growing, that, God, you are allowing us to grow in your faith today. God, I pray that this summer, that, God, there will be a higher level of faith. Lord, we begin to raise our level of faith in you, believing you, holding strong to you. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you give them supernatural strength, God, to endure, Lord, to be diligent seekers of you. And Father, I pray that faith would increase in the name of Jesus. We say amen. If you receive that word, put your hands together one more time and bless the Lord. Thank you guys so much today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today to receive Jesus Christ, I invite you to stop by our Welcome Center at the back. We got a free Bible for you there, information inside on next steps. It's just the start of a new journey. We invite you to get connected. God, we love you guys. Have a great afternoon.